The following is a Jerry Pippin Show Ancient Mysteries Special. Our guest is Paul Davids, a motion picture producer, director, and writer of some note. You probably know of him for the movie Roswell, but he has been a very active and creative filmmaker with other titles such as Starry Night, that's about the painter Vincent van Gogh, Timothy Leary's Dead, and The Sci-Fi Boys. However, I would venture to say that this new movie, Jesus in India, will push him even higher on the list of critically acclaimed people. Jesus in India is available on DVD and recently was featured by the Sundance Channel. It traces the quest of Edward T. Martin on his journey across the old world and to India in search of the answers to boyhood questions from his fundamentalist Christian upbringing in Texas, the questions about the missing or lost years of Jesus Christ as told by the Christian Bible. What he found was astounding. There were references to Jesus in ancient text in that part of the world. However, he was known by another name there.
The earth has trembled and the heavens have wept because of the great crime just committed in the land of Israel. For they have put to torture and executed the great, just Isa, in whom dwelt the spirit of the world. When Isa had attained the age of 13, when an Israelite should take a wife, the house in which his parents dwelt and earned their livelihood in modest labor became a meeting place for the rich and noble who desired to gain for a son-in-law the young Isa, already celebrated for his edifying discourses in the name of the Almighty. It was then that Isa clandestinely left his father's house, went out of Jerusalem, and in company with some merchants, traveled toward Sindh, that he might perfect himself in the divine word and study the laws of the great Buddhas. In the course of his 14th year, young Isa, blessed by God, journeyed beyond the Sindh and settled among the Aryas in the beloved country of God. The fame of his name spread along the northern Sindh. When he passed through the country of the five rivers and the Rajputan, the worshippers of the god Jain begged him to remain in their midst. But he left the admirers of Jain and visited Jagannath in the province of Orissa, where the remains of Vyasa Krishna rest, and where he received a joyous welcome from the white priests of Brahma.
According to the lost manuscripts and accounts in the Hindu, Muslim, and Buddhist legends, Jesus, as a teenager, may have walked into India, and some say he did not die on the cross, but actually returned to this mystic land. Welcome to the show, Paul. It took you a while to make this movie, Jesus in India, didn't it?
3 years of my life working on this picture with Edward T. Martin and my production team from India. It was really the adventure of a lifetime going to India to make this movie.
Paul, I've looked at your documentary. Excellent film. And I've talked to Edward T. Martin before. In fact, he has a new book out now called Jesus in India, King of Wisdom, The Making of the Film, and New Findings on Jesus' Lost Years. But he had written another book about this before, and I think when I talked to him in Eureka Springs a couple of years ago, he told me he had met you in 2002, right after he had written that first book, and you had decided to maybe do the film, but you were busy.
I had considered making a film about Jesus in India when I first met Ed Martin back in around 2002. And I was busy then finishing my previous film called The Sci-Fi Boys, which that was a great experience. It it went on to win awards, but there was a time when I was stuck in the editing of the sci-fi.
We had talked about that in a previous interview. You actually got your son involved in editing that film because I guess you were burned out a little bit. Your son's a pretty good man on his own right as far as the movie business is concerned. He's one of the better film editors around.
So while I left my son Scott to work on that, I took off for India with Ed in 2005. Seemed like the best time. Ed was heading for India to do some further research on the subject.
You used an Indian crew you have worked with before on Starry Night, and I think there were some military connections you had. And I guess before the thing was over, you needed the protection of the military even to get this film out.
And we did need the protection. Some of the places we went to were dangerous over there. But it happened very quickly. In 2005, I had decided I really wanted to go to India. I had spent years studying the writings of Paramahansa Yogananda. I lived near the Self-Realization Fellowship Mother Center in Los Angeles, near Pasadena. And he had written extensively that Jesus had traveled to India during the so-called missing years, ages 12 to 30. There's nothing about those years of Jesus in the New Testament, except for one sentence in the Gospel of Luke that is very general and really doesn't tell anything about the life of Christ during those years. But it became clear from the writings of Yogananda that there's a strong feeling from India, a belief that Jesus was in India for part of those years, at least, and had an extensive presence there and traveled extensively. So that all fascinated me immensely, Jerry, and then I became all the more fascinated when I learned about the beliefs of the Ahmadiyya Muslims, one sect out of more than, I think, 70 sects of the Muslim religion. And the Ahmadiyya Muslims believe that Jesus is buried in Srinagar in Kashmir, that he does have mortal remains. They believe he survived the crucifixion. And whether it's a myth or a legend or whether there's evidence to it was something I wanted to investigate, and we did investigate it firsthand.
So you actually were in country that was not safe for Western people, I guess.
No, it wasn't. We're talking about Srinagar in Kashmir. It's a beautiful area, by the way. It's heaven on earth, and there are any houseboats. For years it had been a prime tourist place, but there's been conflict, revolution, warfare there for so long because it's contested between India and the Muslims who live there who want it either to be independent or part of Pakistan. So there are bombings. There's been more terrorism there than any other part of India, I think it's fair to say. So it was on the State Department list, not advised for Americans to go there, but it wasn't forbidden. But I went with my, I had a crew consisting of Thomas Christian, or rather he was Indian, but it was a branch of Thomas Christianity from Syria that he subscribed to. I had a group of Hindus. I had Muslims in Kashmir who were protecting me, and there was a Tibetan restaurant owner in Tibetan that was protecting us. And they sheltered Ed, Martin, and I as best that they could, while my crew went to the tomb, this disputed, remarkable ancient tomb in Kashmir, known as the Rosabal, means the prophet's tomb, or the tomb of Yuzasov. So Yuzu was an ancient name for Jesus, like Isa, and there are many who believe that Yuzasov is Jesus. And the film presents the evidence that that they offer, and I have to say it's pretty compelling, including the very ancient carving of the prophet's feet showing the crucifixion wounds, the fact that the tomb can be traced to the time of Jesus, that the prophet Yuzu declared himself in those days prophet of the children of Israel, the fact that Kashmir was a Jewish enclave, the lost tribes were scattered throughout Asia, Persia, India. And we know for a fact that there was a Jewish, strong Jewish presence in Kashmir. So we do look at this belief of the Ahmadiyya Muslims that Jesus survived the crucifixion and then did meet with the apostles, the disciples afterwards, exactly as reported in the Bible. They all saw him, including Doubting Thomas. And it's known that Jesus then sent Doubting Thomas to India. There's no question Thomas was in India. And Pope John Paul II went to pay homage to him there. His remains are there. The church where he taught is in Chennai. We filmed that in our movie, Jesus in India. This is all really remarkable, remarkable stuff, Jerry. And the Self-Realization Fellowship of Paramahansa Yogananda, which really, really never endorses anything they don't produce or put out themselves that was written by Yogananda, they endorsed our film by having a page about it at their website and calling it groundbreaking. So I think that's extraordinary.
Paul, this is an excellent film. Is it going into general release in theaters or special type houses or how are you marketing it?
No, here's what we did. We, as an independent film, we placed it first on the Sundance Channel. And it was on the Sundance Channel nationally three times. And many people did have an opportunity to see it then. We've put out the DVD in a widescreen edition that has an extra 80 minutes on it of bonus features that are really fascinating and I think...
Fascinating. That's an understatement, Paul. It's incredible.
We have material from the premiere. We did have a theatrical premiere in Palm Springs. We had a question and answer session with people who worked on the film who came in from London, of the Arif Khan of the tombofjesus.com website. Our associate producer from India came, Sanjay Shetty. The composer was there, and we talked extensively, answering questions about the production. We had a similar session, a seminar, up at Big Bear Lake called the Film Forecast Group, where future critics and cinema lovers of all kinds came and questioned us again about how the film was produced and its meaning, its implications. We have another, I think, 20 minutes of Ed Martin on television from the cutting edge in a show that we have greatly amplified with outtake footage and additional footage from the film. We had so much beautiful footage from India. Professor Elaine Pagels of Princeton University is in the film, and we have an extensive interview, extended interview with her in the bonus materials. This is remarkable. She's one of the greatest biblical scholars in the country, and she says that she cannot rule out that Jesus was in India. And she feels that in the Gospel of Thomas, one of those long-lost ancient apocryphal gospels that was discovered in Egypt in 1948, that goes back probably to around the time soon after Jesus' life. That Gospel of Thomas presents a version of Christianity that has a lot closer ties to Hinduism than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we have here a real historical mystery with major implications. And I think that all of these additional materials that are on the DVD that are not in the film really help explain that. The background, those implications, and Ed Martin has even written a second book about the making of the film, which I think came out really well. It's called Jesus in India, King of Wisdom, The Making of the Film and New Findings on Jesus' Lost Years. That, you know, that's available also at the website with the DVD and with his first book.
You know,
book.
Paul Davids, a lot of people would say this film is a departure for you, but... I see the Paul David stamp all over it. It's kind of what you do. I think it's vintage Paul David's. I can tell this has been a labor of love.
It has been. You know, in the films that I've made, I often have a character who is sort of the underdog who's rejected by everybody else, who's sort of the outcast for his beliefs, but his beliefs turn out to be the ones everybody should have been listening to all along. And I think that's true of the film. When I did the film Roswell, and we used Jesse Marcello as a main character, the intelligence officer who investigated the UFO case and was later ostracized and made to participate in a cover-up. Vincent Van Gogh was an outcast in his day. I made the film Starry Night. Well, when I met Ed, Ed Martin, what impressed me about his story was that he was an outcast in his own hometown, in Lampasas, Texas, where he'd grown up as an ordinary fellow with very religious parents. Fundamentalist upbringing, he said his parents took him to church every time the doors were open. And he took the Bible study so seriously that it really bothered him that there were 18 missing years in the life of Jesus, not mentioned. That the Bible goes from Jesus at age 12 in the temple in Jerusalem, answering the questions and speaking profoundly to the doctors of the law, and it makes it what we call in film a jump cut of 18 years, where the very next thing you hear is that Jesus is at the River Jordan being baptized by John the Baptist. It's extraordinary that there's nothing there. It's just silence about the man who is revered by Christians as the Son of God and respected and extolled by historians, social philosophers, as one of the greatest influences of the last 2,000 years on mankind. And to have 18 years of silence about his life, how can that be? Ed kept asking that question, and the more he asked it, the more they ostracized him from the church. They didn't want to go there. They said, Ed, you have everything you need in the Bible. Just worry about your own salvation. This is what this is all about. Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? Those 18 years of Jesus are of no consequence to your salvation. If God wanted you to know that, it would be in the Bible. Well, Ed couldn't accept that answer. Like all curious people, he wanted to know. And he embarked on a quest that began to point the way to India as the location of those missing years, as a period of time in Jesus' life with Hindus, with Buddhists, and there are some very, very strong parallels between Hinduism and Buddhism and Christianity that are often not acknowledged, and Ed found them a great curiosity. I find it all a great mystery, and with Ed as a central character, tying it all together on this journey to India, I felt there we had...
One of the things that really stood out in that film, Paul, was when you went to the Vatican and talked to the priest, a pretty famous priest, but he was not about, and he's done some pretty liberal things, but he was not about to concede the fact that Jesus was in India at all, especially that he wasn't crucified, or at least that he didn't die on the cross. That was a remarkable piece of film.
They were extremely difficult in some cases. To get. Well, let's start with the Vatican, as you mentioned. Our interview was with Monsignor Corrado Balducci, who was an apostolic nuncio for Pope John Paul II. He's also, he passed away, actually, I think in September, but he was one of the most open people at the Vatican about the question of extraterrestrial life.
That's the reason I brought it up. Being in the UFO business, I was familiar with his name.
He had actually traveled to and spoken at many UFO conferences, sending the message that belief in intelligent extraterrestrial life was not in conflict with Catholicism. That when Jesus spoke of his father having many mansions, that the implication was that there were sentient beings on other worlds, and that Christians should stop thinking of UFOs as possibly something demonic or hallucinations. Or he said, no, they're real. But when it came to Jesus in India, I was warned by Paula Harris in advance that he wouldn't want to talk about it, that the Vatican has never given credence to the Jesus in India legends or stories or evidence, if you will. They've always opposed going there, and that Balducci wouldn't even talk to me about it, she said. to get the interview, I actually had to ask him for an interview about UFOs. And I said, look, I went to India. Do you think people there see UFOs too? Yes, yes, they do.
Well, he may be liberal on UFOs, but he wasn't about to give an inch on this case.
He also said that in all of his religious training, he had never heard of there being missing years of Jesus. Well, that's absurd. I mean, anyone who studies the Bible comes across that there are 18 missing years. What was Jesus doing then? And he was at a loss for that. But he felt that one could not go beyond the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the epistles, the letters of Paul. One could not go beyond that in trying to find the life of Jesus. That was our sole source of information for it. But we know that really can't be true, because there were so many documents written by Christians back in those days that escaped being destroyed by those who disagreed with them. The ones that were buried in Nag Hammadi, Egypt, that were found in 1948, a treasure trove that included the Gospel of Thomas, the Dead Sea Scrolls, other evidences that begin to shape a picture of a much more diversified Christianity than the one that the Vatican would always have Christians urge them to believe in. So, in the film, I juxtapose Corrado Balducci with the Pope of Hinduism. Now, I call the Shankaracharya of Puri, India, the Pope of Hinduism, because that is really approximately his rank within Hinduism. There are four Shankaracharyas, the north, east, south, and west. These are the ecclesiastical heads of Hinduism, and they speak for hundreds of millions of Hindus. To get an interview with the Shankaracharya was, at the beginning, unthinkable. How would we get in to have audience with him? How would we even let it be known that we wanted an audience? What would he say? Here's a man who never gives interviews. He is the holiest of holies among the Hindus. How do you go to him with a camera, a video camera, and ask him questions about Jesus in India? And a miracle happened, because of connections through the family of Anil Ermeil, my fellow producer. We got to go meet with the Shankaracharya. Warned ahead of time, don't expect to be able to film, don't expect even to be able to take a picture of him. But as he learned what our mission was, he changed his mind. And he said, bring in the camera. Let's talk about this. And the Pope of Hinduism insists that Jesus was in India. He goes on record saying there are ancient records to this fact. He was called Saint Isa. There were 18 missing years. He was here. He was here at the Jagannath Temple, as has been reported in several manuscripts, including a very mysterious manuscript Russian explorer Nicholas Notovich found at a Buddhist monastery. That's part of our story as well. And so here you have this clash of the titans between the Pope of Hinduism and Monsignor Corrado Balducci.
Now, you didn't get to go everywhere that your film crew did. In fact, I don't think you got to see the tomb of what is reported to be Jesus.
Yeah. No, I wanted to, and the story of how it was that I couldn't is part of our adventure in Srinagar, where our lives were in danger. Our trip was canceled. The plane we were going to go on, we learned at the last minute, was a terrorist threat. That terrorists had threatened that plane because mm-hmm. the Prime Minister of Srinagar was going to be on it. We canceled that. I returned to the States. I started editing, and I sent the second unit crew to go there months later, after we had prepared the way for their being received at the Hemis Monastery. We had 150 hours of material all told, including all the interviews that we did with various professors and religious figures and all the travels in India, and this had to be condensed to a 97-minute movie. That job took a year and a half. And part of it also, Jerry, we have an extraordinary music score by Brian Thomas Lambert, who is so inspired, and so you don't even notice. It hides, the craftsmanship of goes into making the movie is very hidden in a good film. You're not aware of that. You're just aware of what you're hearing. But to get the few minutes of the interview at the Hemis Monastery about the Notovitch document was an enormous effort that took 6 months. We have the Dalai Lama in our film. To be able to include these statements by the Dalai Lama, that took about 6 months.
Wow, 6 months of preparation. Well, it takes time to do good wine, and it also takes time to make a good film.
Yes, once we got on the trail, we just had to keep going until we'd filled in as many of the missing pieces as we could. We also have a contribution from a very interesting woman, researcher and writer from Florida, who lives in Florida, Suzanne Olson, who lived in that part of the world researching this for a long time. And she became completely convinced that Jesus is buried in the Roosevelt tomb, that 2,000-year-old tomb in Srinagar.
Coming up in part two of Jesus in India, we'll talk to producer, writer, director Paul Davids about his visit to India, about his filming in India, and we'll follow up on the location of the grave of Jesus, of his mother. Did Jesus Christ have a family in India? And a few other questions. That'll be coming up on part two. Paul Davids, a great film. I urge everyone to pick up the DVD and take a look at it. Jesus in India, the movie. And we have a link to the website. Check that out as well. Jesus in India, the movie.com.